I would just start out with a question. Can you think of a time as a Christian when you were scared? Because of being a Christian. Not scared as a human, but like scared as a Christian. You got that moment for those of you who've been scared as a Christian before, you got maybe got that moment in your brain. I remember one right away. I was on what I would say was like a service trip or a mission trip as a Christian. I was a young believer. I did not really, I don't know if I know it all now probably, but I really wasn't sure. But people are like, well, part of your Christian faith would be to volunteer. And sometimes we travel to another place to do that. And I haven't done this a lot. It could be called a mission trip, service trip, volunteer trip. So we went from Tennessee, to where I grew up, to a neighboring state. Just got in our cars, drove, bunch of young adults. And I have never done this kind of thing before and haven't done a lot of this in my life. But we go into a community that is in an economically struggling part of that city. And this was over, I think this was between Christmas and New Year's Day, and went around, and other, I guess, businesses or nonprofits had put together like boxes of food, but they needed people to go like give them out, right? So it's like, okay, well, I can carry a cardboard box and explain it and give it to people. So that's what I did as part of the time that I was over there in this city for this week. And the reason that this relates to fear is we go out and we give the box to some people. And we end up in a conversation, which is great for me. I'm like, okay, this is nice, you know, getting a conversation with the person, not just handing them a box. That's nice. And the guy is so moved. It's a young guy about my age. Say, we'll say he was in his 20s at the time. I'm not in my 20s now. And he's in his 20s at the time. He is so moved and just kind of so encouraged and feels such a surge of positive love and care and kind of optimism about his life that he just hugs me. And I hug him back. And I'm not like the most huggy kind of person, but he's, you know, like this big guy who just like hugs me, you know, he's bigger than me, looks like a football player, you know, just kind of hugs me and is just like really, I mean, he's moved, you know. And then he lets go. And then he says to me, he's like, I got to let you know that I meet just like so many mean people. Now, I don't remember what he said word for word, but his basic message was like, I meet so many mean people. I am always nervous around people because there's just like mean people and unkind people. And I just get a lot of people that I don't feel safe around, but you have helped me so much. It's just nice to be around somebody. He's like, I've got a gun in my pocket right now because that's how I feel about the world. You know, and then here I am going, sorry, what? We were just hugging a minute ago. Like, if I would, like, I'm not weighing in on, like, the whole gun thing. I'm just like, I would like to know before the hug, you know, that it's like a cold winter day. He's got a big jacket. I'm not judging. It's just like, it would have, you know, maybe, I know we're strangers, but you could have, like, maybe, like, mentioned. I mean, well, maybe you can't mention it. So maybe don't hug me. I, you know, it's just right. And now I'm like, wow, I don't live in this city. I don't know this part of the city. I do not have a car. You're talking about mean people, dangerous people. You have a gun. I don't have one. Like, you know, I start to be scared as a Christian. Have you been scared when you were following Jesus? I invite you to turn with me to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of that body of water while he sent the crowds away. After Jesus had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's a Jewish term, it means darkness, like they measured time differently. So it's saying like 2 a.m. or something, okay? In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. These disciples, who are not super Christians, they're human beings, in a boat, see just how amazing Jesus is. They get this glimpse at 2 o'clock in the morning, or 3, I don't have a, you know, I'm not saying 2 o'clock for those of you who are being literal. Let's just say between midnight and 6 a.m., you know, it was dark. They're trying to get across the body of water, huge storm, but they see Jesus' power and ability. But they also see not just how wonderful he is, not just that he's God, but they also see this God cares about me enough to reach out and take me by the hand. This God cares enough to get in my boat in the middle of the storm still going and everything calmed down and get me to the other side. Is it any wonder that with seeing Jesus like that, they say, you are truly God's son, which is 2,000-year-old words for you are God. And more, it's 2,000-year-old words for you are the Messiah. You are this person I've been waiting a long time for God to send who will save me from my sins, all my struggles, all my problems. That's what's going on for them. They're thinking of it in these terms. But before they had this moment of awareness about Jesus and responded with that clear worship that he was God, before all of that, one of them did something that made all of that possible. It's Peter getting out of the boat. I'm not qualified to make a command, but I'll suggest or I'll consider the possibility that if Peter doesn't get out of the boat, nobody knows that Jesus is truly the Son of God. Because if Peter doesn't get out of the boat, he doesn't walk on water, he doesn't sink for a little while, and Jesus doesn't rush in and rescue him and get in the boat and stop the storm. Which then made the other disciples say, you are truly the Son of God. But no Peter out of the boat? Maybe no awareness of who Jesus is. Maybe nobody really gets it like they got it that night in the darkness. Now, an interesting thing occurred to me as I thought about this, because we've all heard this story before. I mean, it's one of the greatest stories of human history. We just kind of love it. You know, even people maybe who don't believe it just love it because it's just cool. You know, and it's just like, wow, you know, don't tell boring stories, at least, right? Like the Bible is good at having interesting stories. So at least don't be boring. But we believe it. Every word, every letter, beginning to end, we believe it. And yet something jumped out at me with a real surprise. I think Peter was so committed to the truth. Yes. I think he was so convicted that he had to get out of the boat. Because the Bible says that he looked out. Now it's dark. There's big waves. There's wind pushing the boat around. And these guys are fishermen. These guys lived there their whole lives. So just like us in December on Cape Cod, we're not surprised if it's a little gusty. We're like, that's the weather here in December, you know? That's just the way it is. They knew what to expect, but they're still out there. And Peter looks out in the darkness and the waves and the wind, and I imagine, you know, rain hitting him in the face. And he sees this thing in the darkness coming toward him. And he's like, you know, it might be a ghost. This is terrifying. He's terrified. But he was so committed in his heart, deep down inside in his life, he was so committed, he said, whether it's a ghost or not, I'm getting out of the boat. Because I want to know what's real. I want to know what's true. I want to know what's going on in my world. And something is coming toward me right now. And it might be Jesus. He might be the Son of God, because nobody had said, truly, you're the Son of God yet. So he might be that person. Or it might be a ghost. I'm terrified. And I don't know, but I'm getting out of the boat anyway because that's how bad I want to find out. And it's like no joke, a risk to his life. If you haven't got out of a boat in the middle of the storm with huge wind and waves and whatever, you know, borrow somebody's boat if you can convince them. you know, or hire a captain to take you out in Cape Cod Bay or out to Nantucket Sound. Like, you know, and go find the boat captain who would, like, take you out in a nor'easter, you know? Like, you find that boat captain and say, I'd like to go out today. And he's going to say, the fish aren't biting. And you're going to say, I just want a pleasure cruise. And he's going to say, we don't do that during nor'easters. Come back in July, you know? Like, they know not to be out there. But Peter says, I'm getting out. I have to know who Jesus really is because I've given my whole life over to him. And I got to know who he is. I'm getting out of the boat no matter what the consequences are. I might drown, but I'm getting out of the boat. Now, some of you have never even got in the boat, so to speak. Some of you can hear this, and it's so far removed because you're like, I've never even got in the boat of following Jesus. I've never even got in the boat of, like, letting him tell me to take the boat to the other side. I don't take directions in life. I'm captaining my own ship. I get it. Now, if you decide, or at some point, you know, would consider that difference in your life between Peter and you, I would say this. It probably won't happen for you in a boat. A boat may have nothing to do with your story. We do live on Cape Cod, so maybe it would. But a boat may have nothing to do with your story. And that's no problem for Jesus. He shows up in worship services. He shows up at the Wednesday night prayer gathering. He'll show up with 5 people, 2 people, 10 people, 200 people. I once met a woman from Iran who grew up Muslim, as you can expect, and we met in the United States. She had a vision in her dining room of King Jesus. She didn't know who he was, but suddenly the room was, she tells me the story, the room's filled with light. She sees somebody, she recognizes that it's Jesus and puts her faith in him. That's outside of my category, right? That's that song we sung, Jesus, I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to do. Sometimes that happens. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do. That's just part of the deal, to get in the boat. Being in the boat, as I use the word right now, means being a disciple, being a believer, being somebody who trusts Jesus enough to say, take the boat across the sea, I'll beat you over there. Storm coming up, I'm coming out. You don't believe me enough yet? Well, get out of the boat and you'll find out who I am. Like, you're just on that journey, taking that boat ride. And these Jews who did it made a choice, especially Peter getting out of the boat, made a choice to trust Jesus more than anything else. They didn't say, well, we're fishermen, so that's our identity, or we're Jews, so that's our identity, or I've got a rich uncle, and I come from good people, and that's, you know, like, I'm, you know, we're deep in the tradition, and we're really strong, respected, you know, wealthy people in the community. None of that. They said, we're going to follow Jesus, he's going to call the shots, and we're just going to see what happens and where we go, because we're all in with him. It's a total turnaround of their life. If you haven't done that, if you have no idea really how that looks, I would encourage you, talk to somebody here who does. You can come talk to me, of course, but I would get joy out of that. But there's a lot of great people in this room who've walked with Jesus in ways I haven't, walked with him longer than I have, so don't let me have all the joy. Talk to some other people. For those of you who are in the boat, have been in the boat following Jesus, let me be plain, you can't stay in the boat forever. Jesus is going to say, get out of the boat. Come, and it is going to scare you. You get hugged by somebody, and it's not the hug for once that bothers you as much as what comes out of their mouth next, right? It's going to scare you. Obey Jesus even when it scares you. That's what Peter did. Obey Jesus even when you tell yourself, I will drown, because Jesus says, I'll come to you and rescue you. I'll see you sinking, and I will come to you. And I'll be honest, like just down to the level of human beings who live in the world, part of the reason I'm encouraging you to get out of the boat is not just because I believe in Jesus, although that's the main reason. Like, he came to Peter, even when Peter was sinking. Part of the reason that I'm saying get out of the boat is you for yourself need to know if Jesus really is who he says he is. Because the clock of life is ticking. The smartphone, the satellites keep telling your smartphone the time has changed, the moments are going by. If Jesus is not who he said he is, I think you need to find out as soon as possible. I want to find out as soon as possible, right? I know, but I keep on knowing as when he says, come. There are things that scare you deeply. There are things that scare me deeply. when I was new to following Christ, going to church was a little scary. I mean, I'd never really like done that before. So it was that, I mean, that was kind of scary, right? Like I went to school, I went to my job. I didn't, you know, but I mean like church was this other kind of thing. I had done it before, but to go in like a regular way was like, well, what happens, you know? What happens? Getting married can be scary. Getting divorced can be scary. Retirement is upsetting to people sometimes. I have family members who recently, those of you who've done this, you'll have to forgive me, but I have family members recently who said that like they hit this stage where they get a letter in the mail or an email and the federal government's like, you got to choose between, I think it's like Medicare Part B and Medicare Part D and Medicare Part C. And, you know, and I mean, you know, it's like classic bureaucracy. It's like, well, what does Part B stand for? Well, it's not something easy, you know, like you could have Part P for prescriptions at least, but no, we're going to, you know, I don't know. You know, so it's like, we got these things we got to navigate in life, and not that I know exactly what that's like, but people telling me about it are like, man, I'm trying to figure out the Part D, which means like, you know, do I have this condition or might I have that condition later? Well, Part B, you know, but Part B and Part D don't always overlap. And, you know, and on and on, you know, what am I going to need and how much does this cost and how much is that, you know, and it's like, man, life's full of some questions, right? Some scary stuff. And we're trying to follow Jesus, but it just gets scary. Losing your job. I've had that happen before. That'll scare you. All of these questions can create terror, but Peter got out of the boat because he wanted to know who Jesus was. He said, I'm getting out because I got to find out how this works. I'm either going to swim or sink, or he's going to rest some, you know, something, but I got to get out of the boat. And look, when he got out of the boat, he walked on water for a while. And even when he couldn't, listen, Jesus came to him and rescued him, took him by the hand. You all right either way is what I'm saying. Some of you, this is always where the rubber meets the road, some of you have a bit of a hang-up, though. You're going, not so fast, Pastor, because I've got out of the boat before. Some of you have been around a little while. You're like, I've got out of the boat before, and it did not go well. I was not well treated. I did not get the outcome that, like, makes for easy sermons. Nice story, Pastor, but, like, let me tell you my life story, right? And you've got yours, and you go, I've done what you're saying, and inside right now, you look nice. All of you look nice. But inside, you're going, not exactly my experience. I get it. And here's what I think is key about all of this. It is difficult at times. It is truly difficult at times to trust God when that happens. It surprises us. It gets challenging. And we think, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about getting back out again. It was hard enough to get in. It was hard enough to get out. Somehow I got back in and I'm all right. I came through, but I'm not sure about all this. I'm not sure about all of this. I would say this. Peter has that side of his story too. He got betrayed by Judas. Jesus actually died on a cross like a common criminal. Peter denied Jesus while that whole crucifixion criminal trial type of thing was going down. That's in Peter's story too. He knows the other piece of this. And it's not, a lot of it's what happened, what other people did, which is, let's be real, part of the struggle in life, right? What other people have done. I mean, Peter wasn't like, look, let's just crucify Jesus, all right? I mean, I've loved him, I've followed him, no, Peter had nothing to do with that. That's all other people doing their stuff. Their junk, their dysfunction, their evil, all that getting put on Jesus. And it was all part of God's plan so that we could stand here and Rich could go, this body was broken for you. It's all in God's plan, but still, Peter's sitting there living it out, and to make matters worse, he denies Jesus and says, I don't even know who he is. And everybody's like, yeah, you do. Yeah, you know? Imagine the despair for Peter. Imagine the fear. Imagine that storm. that storm that night that Jesus is crucified. Imagine yourself not getting back in the boat with your own storm. Imagine refusing to get out of the boat, gripping the bench or the gunwales. I'm fine right here, thank you. I see the storm. I don't know what's going to happen to the boat, but I have at least enough common sense. I'm staying in. You can feel it coming if you've been through it before, right? Go, I'm just staying in the boat. I'm scared. I don't know what to do, but I'm at least going to stay in the boat. I'm not too stupid. I've been there before. Some of you have dealt with a lot since you started following Jesus. People betrayed you. People failed. People sank. People died. People struggled. People disappointed. On and on it goes. Some of it's your own. You betrayed, you denied, you struggled, whatever. Some of you got out the boat once and you stumbled in the rough seas and you said, never again. Not doing it anymore. I tried that once. And your heart, even if your mouth won't do it, your heart inwardly is letting you know, not doing it, not doing it. I've been there, not doing that. It was a long time ago, but not doing it. Because you've had more breakdowns than blessings. More hurts and pains and struggles, and however long it took you, it's okay. Everybody's got their different level, but you got to some point and said, not doing it again. Sometimes, because the Christian life is not always what we call easy or good, sometimes we just want to stay in the boat. We don't want to get out because of all that stuff that's happened. You know, Matthew 14 seems great, but, you know, we know the rest of the story, and then we've got our own story, and you got all this stuff, right? All these other reasons you want to stay in the boat. A month ago, Chris Moniz and I were talking, and I forget if it was talking or texting, but he told me about this song he'd heard called God Does. And he says, you ever heard of God Does by the Red Clay Strays? No, I hadn't heard of it at all. So I pull it up, thanks to modern iPhone, you know, YouTube, Red Clay Strays, God Does. Start listening to it. Here's what this song says. A lot of times it feels like I just can't do right, but I know that God does. Well, I know that God does. When the temperature is rising and patience wearing thin, and I don't have what it takes to cool back down again, I know that God does. I know that God does. When the rain just keeps on pouring and I can't see the road, even with a map sometimes I don't know where to go, but God does. But God does. I liked that song a lot. Because sometimes I just want to stay in the boat. I just am like, hey, you know, it's not much, right? I mean, I got splinters poking me and the boat's creaking and the waves are coming over and, you know, all the rest. But I mean, in the boat's better than out of the boat. I'm not like Peter and I'm not kidding around, you know. I do wonder at some level, as awesome as Peter's faith is, like I do wonder if that was Peter's experience. At some point later, you know, after denying Jesus and everything, like, was that Peter's experience? That was a great moment, you know, back there at Matthew 14. That was great. But this crucifixion business, I'm going to stay in the boat now. You know, I don't know. I mean, this is rough, what he went through. And part of what I appreciate about it is, if you've read Peter's story, you know, anywhere, any kind of thing through it, there's not a time in which Peter totally went what I'd call off the rails. Like, despite the struggle of the denial and the betrayal and all that dark stuff that went on and everything else, like, there's no part at which Peter said, I'm just going to go on a 3-day drunk. I'm out of here. I'm done with righteous living. I'm going on a 3-day drunk. My phone battery is going to die on day 2. Nobody's going to be able to find me, and I'm just out somewhere, you know, trashing my life. And he didn't do like the more civilized version of wasting his life, which is to just spend like 20 hours a day scrolling Facebook. Now, I use Facebook. I'm not judging. And then I'm not putting the hour thing on the face. Not going. I'm just saying, let's say 20 hours a day, right? Like, you could see Peter just hiding in 2024 and saying, man, I got burnt, but you know what? I can sit at my phone and just sit on my couch and stare at Facebook 20 hours a day, just like scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And when that gets to be, I got Instagram and LinkedIn and, you know, TikTok and whatever. And, you know, and he just like makes his way through, you know, making his way through, hiding in life, you know. I appreciate that he didn't do either one of those, the total self-destructive path and the total, like, just kind of fading away, withering away, scrolling through the phone thing. I appreciate both of those perspectives. What I see him doing, again, I'm filling in gaps for you quickly here, but what I see him doing is he fished. In other words, he went to work. Like, he just had a job. He needed to be working, so he just went fishing. That's what he knew to do. And as you can imagine, you catch fish, you have something to eat. Or you can sell the fish and have money. And then, you know, so he fished. He went to work. The other thing that I think is helpful is he kept in touch with other Jesus followers. He stayed in connection with them. He didn't get rid of all his friends and go get new friends who, you know, had never heard him deny Jesus. None of that. He stayed with the same people, stayed in the same place. His world was shaken and confusing, really messed up, in the sense of being difficult. But he did a couple of great things, which is he kept the same friends and he went to work. He kept active in the good things of his job. I think he held steady, in other words. Because being in the boat doesn't mean you're perfect. Being in the boat doesn't mean you've always done the right thing or always feel proud of your choices. Sometimes it just means being in the boat and not out there abandoning what it means to follow Jesus. And I think for a period of time, some of you might even say, I've been there too, Pastor. I've been the Peter who's like, I'm in the boat. I will fish. I'll hang out with Jesus people. I'll be well behaved. I'll go to work. I'll be well behaved. But I'm not getting out of the boat. I'll be nice. I'll drive the speed limit. I'll only use Facebook for like 4 hours a day, except when it's just really interesting, and then it'll be like 6. And I'll stop and I'll watch some Netflix, but I'm like well behaved. I'll have my shirt tucked in at work. I'll say yes to my boss, you know, right? Slow down when I see the police. But Jesus, that's it. That's it, Jesus. As far as I'm going. And you know in your heart, you say, a lot of things went downhill. A lot of things went sideways. A lot of things went bad. I'm in the boat. Leave me alone. Just don't ask too much. I see why Peter didn't walk on water. Matthew 15, Matthew 16, Matthew, you know what I mean? Like, you don't find him doing it all the time. He wasn't walking on sunshine all the time. I see a moment when Peter didn't have that kind of gusto and passion and belief, and the people around him weren't exactly saying, you truly are the Son of God. It wasn't that kind of moment anymore. Now, I wasn't there. One of my personal rules is I try not to act like I know what is going on in somebody else's heart and mind, which has been very helpful over the years because I have no idea. I can barely manage to use the 5 senses that I do have, and so to pretend as if I have some 6th sense, which is to know people, is, you know, out of the question. But I think about Peter, and I try to put myself in his shoes. I try to read the Bible. I try to meditate on the Bible and think, like, what's going on in Peter's life? What's going on? And here's what I think. Now, and I said think. I have a strong, like, sort of inclination, but here's what it is. I think Peter was just kind of waiting. Not, like, totally clear what's next for me. And so, like, waiting for the door to open, you know, you got your key in and you try the first one. Does the door open? No. Try the next key. Not waiting like that. I think Peter's just kind of like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how this gets straightened out. I don't know what happens next. I'm just waiting. That's what we do as humans a lot, at least half the time, right? We don't know what is happening. We don't know what to expect. We don't know what's going to come next. And so we're waiting. We're in between some great moment in the past or some hard moment, and now we're just kind of like in the boat. And it happens to us, even though Peter's life feels so different than ours, we end up saying, how am I going to pay all those bills off? Especially after December, right? How's that going to get paid off? Or where does my marriage go now? How does my marriage, you know, continue after this? Or what's next for that? Or how will I figure out Medicare D? Like, I mean, who does anybody know? You know, whatever the questions are, you end up just thinking, how does this get turned around? How do I make amends for the mess I've made in my family or at my job? Well, I invite you to turn with me to John 21. I hope you'll be patient. I try to just preach from one's, you know, book, but turn to your right, go to John 21. Today we've got two places. This is another moment in the boat. And we're going to start with, there's a sentence, verse 2. Let's see. We'll do verse 3. I'll save you a little reading. Verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, that's the Jesus people that he's still hanging out with. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will also come with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. They didn't know it in Matthew 14, and they don't know it right now. So Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. To help you visualize, this is a big net with weighted anchors. Throw it over the side of the boat, pull it through, it hooks, some, you know, catches the fish. They get a bunch of fish. So much they can't lift it in. Therefore, verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, what do you think he did? He put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work. He's a fisherman doing his job. And he threw himself into the sea. I love it. Threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. We'll stop right there. Let me ask you this real question. You don't have to answer it. You answer it for yourself. Which moment showed more faith? The first time Peter got out of the boat or the second time? Just think for yourself. You get to play Peter and you don't even have to tell anybody unless you want to. Which moment takes more faith, getting out of the boat the first time or getting out of the boat the second time? I really tried hard to think, when did Peter trust Jesus more? I mean, he's on the second time, just to give you all the facts, he's only about 100 yards from shore, and there is no storm. I've never tried to swim 100 yards before, but I'll give Peter, you know, mentally, physically credit. I guess he could do it. But first time around, storm, far from land, waves crashing the boat, rain, lashing wind, all that stuff going on, storm, ghost on the water, Jesus on the water, Peter's not sure. Which time took more faith? This year, it is hard to say, this year, whichever one you want to answer, some of you also are kind of people who think outside the box. You're like, well, actually, it's choice number three. I'm not one of those people. I don't know what choice number three is. But if you think of choice number three, so be it. This year, I think the Lord is saying to you, get out of the boat again. Get out of the boat again. There's three things. We'll talk about this more at the annual general meeting. But there's three things that I really feel like the Lord's encouraging us to pursue this year, and I want to go ahead and share them now as we talk about getting out of the boat again. One of them is find your crew. I'm using the word find your crew because Peter's in a boat, and we're talking about being in a boat, and boats have crews. Peter made an effort to stay around the right kind of people. When his life had bright chapters that were amazing and full of Jesus' miraculous power, he was with a certain kind of people going and doing a certain thing with their life. When it was tough and he'd failed and betrayed and been betrayed, you know, he's still with the right kind of people. He found his crew. Second thing I would say is work your salvation. What do I mean by that? Philippians 2:12 says, work out your salvation. It's a scripture written to Christians like you and me. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So there's some work we got to do to work out our salvation, to become like Jesus in a sense. Got to work out our salvation. There's some things we got to work on. Anger, sin, apologizing to people, whatever. Got to work it out. So the reason I bring that up, if I can like deviate for just, I won't forget number three, but something had to happen for Peter between Matthew 14 and John 21. His own way, something had to help him say, I got out of the boat in Matthew 14, which was working his salvation. He had to get out of the boat again in John 21. That was working his salvation too. I don't see a way, just being, again, no judgment, but I don't see a way to go from walking on water to betraying Jesus to diving back in to go to Jesus when he says, come, without working his salvation. Peter had to be learning something, had to be growing, had to, so find your crew, work your salvation. And number three, love a neighbor. Love a neighbor. Three things this year. Find your crew, work your salvation, love a neighbor. I'm taking that straight from Jesus. He said, love your neighbor, right? So I'm saying, find your crew, work your salvation, love a neighbor. What do I mean by love a neighbor? Just to put a little bit finer point on it. I mean, choose somebody to serve. It can literally be your neighbor. It could literally be a group of people or a cause or a problem that you care about. And I got to take a second. I feel sorry for those of you on Facebook worshiping with us, although I'm glad you're worshiping with us. I feel sorry for you because I just want to show those of you who are in the room, those of you online, you can come see the room too. But right over here on the wall, maybe like a month ago, that was sheetrock by itself. And then it was decorated for Christmas, which was great to have. And then this week, Chris Soares, Chris Moniz, Charlene started like turning an idea into reality. Many of us have had conversations that we want to serve Jesus, and I won't take long with this, but I do want you to see the board because all of you are probably like, what's the board? The board is a work in progress, technically speaking, but people are making progress. What we're moving toward is an opportunity to have a small group of ministries or activities right there on the board, probably going to be like, say, four. And we can go into this more at the annual general meeting, I promise. But in a sense, we'll have some words up there that say missions or God at work around us or something. If you have excitement about like what words we use, please let us know. But if not, it'll probably be, you know, missions or service. And then we'll have some pictures and some things up there. And it'll be a way to say, here's some local opportunities in high, like within, you know, half a mile of the building. It's on there. How to pray for it, how to volunteer for it, how to give to it. So you can go love a neighbor. And then there's another one that might be like something on Cape Cod, you know, that's like farther away, not super far away, but, you know, something, or South Shore of Boston or something like that. And then there'll be some that are probably further away, like somewhere else in America, like the West Coast or something like that. And then there'll be some that are international, because many of you at the church care about international things. You go on international trips. I don't have all the answers yet, but that's what that is. And it's because the Lord's working, not just in my ideas or my passions, but in you. Many of you already want to serve. You want to do something. But a lot of times I get the question from some people who want to serve but aren't sure where to go. And this will be our way to say, here's some places to start. Pray for these, say, four ministries. Volunteer for these. Give financially to these. You know, read their whatever, right? So we'll see where that goes. But anyway, that's what that is. That's part of getting out of the boat, is loving a neighbor. And we want to help you do it. I am not the kind of person to require you to do one of the four. Full, also just to, you know, prevent Satan from getting a foot in. Like, this, not like you can't do whatever you're already doing. Okay? So you listen to God, I'll help you. But that's just a way for us to get forward, because some of us need a step. One last question, I think, getting back to Peter. Part of me really wants to know, why did Peter jump out of the boat again? I'm being a little picky, because he'd had that walking on water experience. So he could have maybe said, Jesus, let's do the walking thing again. Only this time, let me get all the way to shore, right? Or he could have said, I'm just going to be a normal guy and just like row the boat into shore. Maybe help the guys who've got a net so full they can't even, like, right? I mean, you know, like, he's been a fisherman before. Like, typically you don't bail on people that you work with, by the way. Small tip there if you need a way to apply this sermon to your life. This week, if your coworkers are overwhelmed, don't run in the other direction. Like, jump in and help out. So I wonder, like, I mean, why dive in? If you're only 100 yards from shore and you can walk on water with Jesus' help, like, I mean, you got two good choices. Why dive in? What's going on? I'll read you a section of John 21 one more time. Because again, something's going on with working his salvation, to borrow that language. Something's going on with working his salvation that has helped him go from walking on water to betraying Jesus to diving out of the boat. And I wonder what it is. In John 21, verse 6, Jesus said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Why did Peter get out of the boat? Why did he dive out of the boat? Because Jesus was the Lord. He was in a spot. I can't explain why. Again, I don't judge him. We'll ask Peter someday. Somebody knew it was the Lord. In Matthew 14, people go, you truly are the Son of God. John 21, somebody else says, it is the Lord. Apparently, Peter was, you know, needed people in his life to point out the obvious to him. So that happened twice. And here in John 21, the moment he realizes it, he gets his clothes on, right, and dives in. Goes straight to where he can find Jesus. And the reason he did it is because Jesus is the Lord. The ruler, the authority figure, the King of Kings, the mighty God. He is the one. It's just like Matthew 14. Different, slightly different language. You truly are the Son of God, but it's a lot like Matthew 14. And Peter dives right in to go find Jesus. Because Jesus is truly God's Son. Jesus is the Lord, and Jesus is calling out to him. And Peter says, I'll go. When he calls, I'll go. In a lot of ways, that's the summary of Peter's life. I know I've betrayed him. I know I've denied him. I know I've been betrayed. I know I've seen false criminal trial and sham and all the rest and darkness and all the rest of that bad stuff in life. But when he comes, I'll call. I'll get out of the boat again. I would make a couple of suggestions. I get real excited in life. Somebody once told me, they said, whoa, 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 young man, don't overrun your headlights, which I didn't even know was possible, but apparently, like, so... A few things, though, from Peter's life. First of all, hold steady. Don't hurry into huge changes. I'm excited, too, but Peter held steady. He didn't hurry into huge changes. He could wait on Jesus because the same Jesus who said, come, to get out of the boat the first time is the same Jesus who said, you don't have any fish, do you? Cast your net. Here I am. I'm on the shore waiting for you. So you don't have to hurry into huge changes. Number two, stay close to people you can trust. One of the reasons it's nice to just mention that we're going to talk about finding our crew this year is because there's no way I could get all this out in one morning. You'd be here forever, and you don't want that. And my kids would have coffee and maple syrup, and my wife doesn't want that. But you want healthy, strong friendships in your life. So you can go through seasons with people that you can text them, call them, and go, it's a bad day. I texted some friends of mine on Saturday. I said, I need some prayer right now. My wife is sick and I am alone with two boys. I need prayer. And they prayed and I saw a difference too, by the way. Thank God. Peter has his crew. He's got his crew. He knows who to stay with. A lot of life is messy, but he's got his people to stay with. So stay close to people you can trust. Don't hurry into huge changes. Number three, it won't surprise you, get out of the boat again. Get out of the boat again. Peter gets out of the boat, and it shows us our faith's foundation. People who move toward Jesus find out that he moves toward them. Some of them are sinking. Some of them have got a bunch of baggage, a bunch of sin, a bunch of failure, a bunch of hurt, a bunch of pain, a bunch of regret. But they move toward Jesus and they find out that he moves toward them. And he reaches out and he takes them. Or he says, you got a bunch of fish on the right side of the net. And when they get to the shore, what does Peter find? Jesus has already got fish cooking on a fire. And when you make a meal for somebody, they didn't need, even though they don't have a grocery store, like they weren't asking for food. Jesus got food, but it's more than that. It's come be with me again. We're in relationship still. You're on my team. I'm on your team. I care for you. I remember the walking on water. I remember the denial. And I'm saying, come on back. No wonder Peter gets out of the boat. How many of you have failed at something? Made a decision you regret? Said something you wish you could take back? Me too. But we can be the kind of people who dive out of the boat again because Jesus is the Lord. And he's waiting. And you're waiting. And there's going to be a moment when you'll go, it is the Lord. And you can get out of the boat again. Or you can get out of the boat for the first time. You can work your salvation or find your crew or love a neighbor. By year's end, maybe do all three. We'll see. Here's what I'd leave you with as we go. If the first time Peter got out of the boat was about trusting God with the fear, the second time he got out of the boat was trusting God with failure. His failure, other people's failure. I don't know which one takes more faith for you. I'm not even sure I know for myself, but I recognize one situation was scary. One situation came after a whole bunch of failure and mess. But in both cases, Peter knew who was out there, and he said, I'm going to be with him where he is because he's coming to me to be with me where I am. Jesus can be trusted to restore you when others have failed you and you've failed yourself. Or when the storm is terrifying. I know some of you have been hurt. I know things have been hard. Part of me knows what I'm asking you to do when I say get out of the boat again, and yet I'm asking you to do it anyway. Get out of the boat again. Not because it's motivational and it's the first Sunday in January and we're ready for some goals and resolutions. I didn't even try to set them this year. I just let it slide on by. Didn't even try, right? I'm still trying to finish stuff I started last year. So that was enough, right? And yet, in this case, what makes the difference is who meets us when we get out of the boat. Hallelujah. Who calls to us. And I hope some of you aren't ready. Some of you are like, I'm not ready now, and I won't be ready in July. I like my boat. The seat is rough. The paint is faded. But the storm is bad, and I'm not getting out. Fair enough. I'm a human too. I get it. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat and have, if you're in that place, seriously, I accept it. Stay in the boat. And at some point, you may look out, so to speak, in your life and say, someone's coming toward me. You may hear a voice saying, have you got this? What are you doing right now? And it's going to be Jesus calling for you, Jesus coming to you. And I would encourage you, sit in the boat, grip the gunwales, hold on to the bench, don't move. I'm not asking you to move if that's where you are. But deep down inside, just between you and Jesus, say, I accept that you might come. I accept that you might somehow speak to me, somehow come to me, somehow invite me to do something. So I'll listen when you do that. And maybe that's all you do for now. If you get to July, we can talk again about that. Everybody's got some failure in their past. Everybody's got some things they're working through. All kinds of stuff. Get out of the boat and go to him. Peter had a moment when he got out of the boat, a moment when he didn't know what was going on, and another moment when he got back out of the boat. There's like three phases, in a sense, of the spiritual life. And we'll get out. Not sure, I'm going to get out. Stay with the right people. And when they say, it's the Lord, he truly is the Son of God, you'll find yourself getting out of the boat I don't know if you'll be diving or stepping or how you'll do it. However you do it, it's fine with me. But you'll find yourself going, yeah, I believe it. Because you've stayed with the right people in the right place long enough. And you find out, he's totally trustworthy. I can depend on him in the storms of life. I can depend on him with my failures and other people's betrayal and all the rest of that darkness. We're not going to go back through it again. When he's asking you to do the impossible, get out of the boat in a storm, you can trust him. When you've blown it big time with your marriage or your money or your whatever, you can trust him. Still, he's ready to come to you. He's ready to call you. You can trust him. Let's take a moment and pray. Right now, Jesus, we know that the people living in darkness have seen a great light. You're the only one, Jesus, who can come to a scared human being in the middle of the storm and give them enough courage to get out of the boat when they don't even know what it is that they're scared of, but they're like Peter saying, I'll get out of the boat. And they find out that you are who you said you are. And then, for reasons that don't totally make sense to us as Christians, we go through times where everything seems to go wrong. And we cause it, and other people cause it. And it gets ugly, and it gets dark, and it gets hard again, and it's a storm of a totally different kind. And suddenly, in the midst of that moment, you call out again. We didn't even know you were there. And yet you found your way to some spot only 100 yards away from us and you start calling out. And all we did was say to the people we're hanging out with, let's go fishing. Let's go to work. Let's watch TV. Let's go work in the yard. And you show up and you call out to us. I pray for these people that I have the privilege of spending life with and hanging out with and worshiping with and growing with. I thank you for them. I thank you for their partnership. I thank you for the ways that they're different from me and contribute to the whole experience we have as a Living Hope Family Church. Please speak to each one of us. Please help us a little bit. Some of us need some gentleness and some tenderness from you. Some of us need some clarity. Some of us are ready to dive out of the boat. That's fantastic. Show us where to land. Show us where to swim. Show us what to do with that. Some of us need to find our crew. We're a little disconnected from people. Please bring along some folks. Some of us need to work some stuff out. Need to repent of some things. Need to get some help with that, maybe. Or just change it, fix it, overcome it. And that won't happen without your help. You are the one who says, take that boat to the other side. You're the one who calls out from the shore. We need you to be the Jesus that you are. Truly, you are the Son of God, and you are the Lord. Please fully do that and be that in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.